Hello, this is your Polycast for Wednesday, October 18th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, people weigh in on a name change for Lake Calhoun, and Tom Hoeks run for Minneapolis mayor. Minnesota is officially in the contest to land the new Amazon corporate headquarters. Brian Baxt has more.
The Department of Employment and Economic Development has submitted a proposal providing the e-retailer with possible sites, potential grant awards, and reasons to choose Minnesota for its major expansion. Dozens of other cities and states are planning to make their own case to Amazon. Deed Commissioner Shantara Hardy says Minnesota's plan played up its strong workforce, solid higher education network, and its vibrant Twin Cities region. Amazon says its project will involve billions of dollars in private investment and up to 50,000 jobs added in phases. The company wants a second headquarters in addition to its main corporate base in Seattle. Minnesota officials have refused to list the possible sites included in the bid or assign an overall subsidy price tag to it. Brian Baxt, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
Minnesota officials say they're encouraged by a bipartisan bill in the U.S. Senate that stands to restore almost three-quarters of $1 billion in funding for MinnesotaCare, the state's low- and moderate-income health insurance program. Mark Zedeklik reports.
The crux of the agreement would restore cost-sharing reduction payments to insurance companies that President Trump cut last week. The payments help reduce health care out-of-pocket costs for millions of low-income Americans. Separately, the Senate agreement would restore more than $740 million the Trump administration cut from MinnesotaCare over 4 years when it approved Minnesota's request to instate a new reinsurance program. The program held down 2018 individual market health insurance premiums by about 20%. The agreement will need Senate and House approval, as well as the signature of President Trump, to become law. Mark Zedeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
St. Paul middle and high school students will get extra time to sleep in the morning under a plan approved last night. Board members okayed the change as they heard about potential problems ahead. Solveig Wastvedt has more.
St. Paul 8th grader James Kahn says he'd love to be more alert for his favorite class, which happens to be his first class of the day. But his school starts at 7:30 a.m.
I see kids falling asleep in class all the time, and I've even done it a few times. When every kid is falling asleep in a class with an extremely interesting teacher, there's clearly a problem.
The current plan starts middle and high schools at 8:30. Elementary schools that currently start at 8:30 move 1 hour earlier, but elementary schools that start at 9:30 do not change. The plan leaves room for exceptions. The district said it will release individual school start times next year. Parent Jessica Kopp says the earlier schedule won't be good for younger kids.
No one thinks starting school at 7:30 is beneficial to elementary age children or their families. Is become an acceptable side effect to starting adolescence later.
Board member Zuki Ellis worried that the change might drive elementary families away from the district.
While I get that there will be a 7:30 option and there will be a 9:30 option, I really worry about there not being an 8:30 option.
District officials said they may offer extra spots in the district's childcare, add after-school activities, and rethink some bus stop locations to help address challenges. The change is expected to cost around $2 million, but could be offset by changes to other programs. Covering education, I'm Solveig Wastvedt, Minnesota Public Radio News.
The Hennepin County Board could vote later this year to rename Lake Calhoun. Supporters of the move say it's wrong to honor the nation's seventh vice president because John C. Calhoun was an ardent supporter of slavery and the drafter of the Indian Removal Act. Last night, dozens of people spoke at a public hearing on the proposal, but as Matt Sepik reports, the county board does not have the final say.
The first governmental body to sign off on renaming Lake Calhoun was the Minneapolis Park Board. After months of hearings and public input sessions, they voted unanimously in May to call the lake Bede-Mikaska, which means White Banks Lake in the Dakota language. Now the proposal is in the hands of the Hennepin County Board. Dakota historian Kate Bean has been one of the most vocal supporters of what she calls restoring the lake's indigenous indigenous name. At last night's hearing, Bean said having John Calhoun's name on the lake contributes to the historical erasure of the Dakota people and glorifies a 19th century politician who oppressed both Native Americans and African Americans.
This man was not just in favor of slavery, he promoted it. He was not just in favor of indigenous genocide. He actively contributed to it by drafting the Indian Removal Act.
Harvey Zuckman, who grew up in Minneapolis and still lives near the lake, said he never understood why it was named for someone not connected to Minnesota. Zuckman said he only learned about the area's Dakota history and that of John Calhoun when he served on a Park Board Community Advisory Committee. Zuckman says calling the lake Bede-Makaska is a matter of equity.
I really think it speaks to any number of disenfranchised populations in our community that because we are embracing the Dakota name that preceded the name that we call it now, it is an inclusive name. It tells everyone this is a place for everyone. You are welcome here.
Of the roughly 30 people who testified last night, only a half dozen spoke against removing Calhoun's name. Linden Hills neighborhood resident Tom Austin was among them. Over the summer, Austin knocked on doors and surveyed around 350 people. He says the vast majority signed a petition against renaming the lake.
There are a lot of ways to show support for the Indian community. But changing the name of Lake Calhoun to Bede-Makaska is a poke in the eye of over 90% of the people who live in the lakes area.
The Cedar Isles Dean Neighborhood Association passed a resolution last month against renaming Lake Calhoun. The group says the name is deeply woven into the area's geography and is part of the names of dozens of buildings and businesses. Lawrence Saltzman, who is director of the Lake Calhoun Sailing School for nearly 30 years, fears the school and Associated Yacht Club could lose their widespread brand recognition. He says signs the park board installed in 2015 that include both names are sufficient to represent the area's Dakota heritage.
We feel that the present naming signage, which includes Lake Calhoun and Bede-Makaska, that now appears around the lake, accomplishes the goal of recognizing the lake's dual history.
The Hennepin County Board will accept written testimony on the name change for another 10 days. Commissioner Peter McLaughlin says he expects there will be a vote on the issue before the end of the year. If the county board okays the name change, it would still need approval from the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. The U.S. Board of Geographic Names would have the final word. Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
16 people are running to be mayor of Minnesota's largest city. All this week, we're introducing you to some of the leading contenders for Minneapolis mayor. Today, it's theater developer and downtown activist Tom Hoke. Tim Nelson has a look.
Tom Hoke is a native of Minneapolis and went to Washburn High School. At 62, he's the oldest of the leading candidates to be mayor and has a long history of public service in the city. That started with his first job as a Minneapolis public school teacher. He went on to become a family law attorney, a Minneapolis Community Development Agency staffer, and a public housing agency executive. That's where he was a key figure in the $100 million settlement of the Holman lawsuit aimed at deconcentrating family public housing in the city. He also helped push Congress to allow senior-specific high-rise public housing. Hoke is best known, however, for helping redevelop the State Theater in 1990 and helping create the Hennepin Theater Trust and Downtown Improvement District. He says such public investment has helped spur private development and can solve some of the city's long-standing problems.
Everything is about how do we slice the same pie in thinner and thinner slices rather than how do we bake a bigger pie that gives everybody a bigger slice. That's what we need to be doing. So when we talk about issues of equity, you know, and this is not to suggest that they aren't real. It's to suggest that there's another way of thinking about how we might address them, and that is making sure that we have a plan for prosperity. And we don't have one right now.
Hoke says, for instance, he'd like to see the city help encourage a more cohesive and active food industry and become what he calls the Silicon Valley of food. He also says he won't be just the mayor for Hennepin Avenue, where he's done much of his work.
I'm not solely a theater developer or operator. I will say that that takes place in the context of economic development and job creation. I have a long history of service in our community, both downtown and in neighborhoods. I've been the president of the St. Anthony East Neighborhood Association. I was active in the Nicollet Island East Bank Neighborhood Association. My work with the Public Housing Authority put me smack dab in the middle of the north side of Minneapolis.
Hoke is also bidding to become the city's first openly gay mayor. Tim Nelson, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
And that's your Polycast for this Wednesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.